or go to kboo.fm/give right now.
KBOO is having our annual book and record sale Saturday, December 21st from 12 to 10 p.m. There's a special member-only preview hour from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. The sale will be located at Jupiter Next in the Arium Ballroom at 900 East Burnside Street. KBOO is currently accepting donations of used and good condition books, records, CDs, and cassette tapes. KBOO is hosting sorting parties for this event on Friday, December 6th and Friday, December 13th at 5 to 7 p.m. at KBOO's 20 Southeast 8th Avenue. If you're able to help with sorting or help on the day of the sale, please contact volunteer@kboo.org. We hope to see y'all there. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO member listeners and support from Levin & Levine, LLP, attorneys specializing in personal injury law. Levin & Levine offices are located in Southeast Portland and Old Town Sherwood. More information available by phone at 503-946-8708 and online at levinandlevine.com.
And now, your daily volunteer-produced community newscast, the KBOO Evening News.
Coming up on our hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News, a Portland Commission's proposal to provide public spaces in downtown's private buildings.
HIV prevention drugs are now available for free.
And Congress has passed a bill condemning human rights abuses in China.
Good evening. This is the KBOO Evening News for Wednesday, December 4th, 2019. KBOO is currently in our membership drive, and we'd like to urge you to become a member by calling 877-500-5266. I'm Nat Moon.
And I'm Erin J. Bernard. Did you ever have to show your driver's license or ID to someone in a bar or airport in another state and get interrogated because of the wearing off address change sticker? Oregon was one of only three states, Connecticut and Michigan the others, requiring those stickers, but that will end on January 1st of next year. People will still be required by law to change their address with motor vehicles within 30 days of moving. A police officer can ask if the address on your license is correct and then verify it online. Stopping the issuance of the stickers will save the state over $500,000 per year in printing and postage costs.
Thanks to the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission, houseless people may be getting more safe camping spaces downtown in the future. The proposed changes to the city's design review would mean all new private buildings downtown must include space for people to rest and be welcome. In other words, camp and not be hassled. The change was led by Oriana Magnera, a policy director at Verdi, a Northeast Portland environmental justice nonprofit. Magnera noted that while public spaces are required to have benches, quote, the reality of the housing shortage is folks need to rest on a longer-term scale. The proposal comes as the city of Portland has been dealing with a housing shortage that has left thousands of people sleeping outside in cold weather. Opposition within the commission came from four of the nine members with concerns that this would slow down the design review process and increase construction costs. However, the goal of the proposal is to provide areas where people can feel safe and welcome instead of being met with defensive measures with the implicit goal of excluding people. The commission will meet again on December 17th and send their recommendation to the Design Commission, after which the final product will head to the City Council for review.
At a board meeting last night, Portland Public Schools voted to condemn the Oregon Department of Transportation's plan to expand the I-5 freeway in the Rose Quarter. Back in 2012, ODOT developed a plan to add auxiliary lanes near the Broadway-Widener interchange in an effort to decrease traffic congestion in the area. According to the school board, ODOT and the city did not consult with them, nor did they adequately take the potential environmental impact into effect. The board, along with the Metro Council, City Commissioner Chloe Daly, and other local agencies, have voiced concerns about the transportation agency neglecting to take all factors into consideration by not conducting a full environmental impact statement. The board expressed concerns about the impact of the development on Harriet Tubman Middle School, particularly as it pertains to the soil stability, air pollution, noise pollution, and bus access at the school. PPS says its history of bearing the impacts of development date back to when the freeway was first built. Comments from the school board read, quote, "The historical legacy from ODOT ignoring health and equity concerns voiced decades ago about building a freeway too close to a school has cost PPS millions of dollars that were used to make the air inside Tubman safe for students and had health and environmental consequences for our students and the surrounding community."
Oregon cops can't tell the difference between hemp and pot, which allows the black market for pot to expand. Hemp, like pot, is made from the marijuana plant. However, hemp has only trace amounts of THC, the psychoactive chemical in cannabis, so smoking hemp won't get a user high. In December of last year, the federal government legalized hemp in the Farm Bill, which was a victory for farmers, especially in Oregon. The side effect, however, is that law enforcement does not have a reliable way to distinguish between hemp and pot. This opens the door for black market pot growers, who can transport their product across state lines disguised as hemp, which is legal, and not as pot, which cannot legally cross state lines. According to a 2018 report by the Oregon High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area Program, $48 million worth of Oregon cannabis was shipped around the country between 2015 and 2018. Even in-state, this inability to test means that black market weed flourishes. It is sold for much lower prices than that from licensed growers who are subjected to intense rounds of testing and product approval. Even with potential illicit grow operations expanding, particularly in southern Oregon, black market pot is not a top priority compared to the danger posed by opioids and meth. One licensed grower, Mike Getlin, told Willamette Week, quote, "The farmer in me who has spent his life savings on his farm says, yes, we should be doing more. But the citizen in me who has watched marijuana prohibition destroy lives, especially in marginalized populations, says no."
A 12th person in Multnomah County has been indicted on sexual assault charges based on evidence from the Sexual Assault Kit Backlog Elimination Project. The project was initiated in 2015 with funding from the New York County District Attorney's Office, which allowed nearly 3,000 sexual assault kits from around the state to be tested. In 2018, Oregon became one of the first five states in the country to eliminate its backlog of untested kits. Today, a grand jury indicted Frank Hall Jr. for the alleged rape of a woman in 2013. The alleged incident occurred in downtown Portland, and Hall Jr. was arrested on November 27th by Portland police. As of October, five people have been convicted of sexual assault in Multnomah County through the backlog kit testing.
Protracted drought and crop failures are part of why people in South America are fleeing their homes, highlighting the effects climate change has in all regions of the world. Dr. Anthony Lizowitz has more on the story with Climate Connections.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. Poverty and violence in Central America are major factors driving migration to the United States. But there's another force that's often overlooked: climate change. Retired Lieutenant Commander Oliver Layton Barrett is with the Center for Climate and Security. He says in Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador, crime and poor economic conditions have long led to instability.
And when you combine that with protracted drought, it's just a stressor that makes everything worse.
He says with crops failing, many people have fled their homes.
These folks are leaving not because they're opportunists, because they are in survival mode. You have people that are legitimate refugees.
So Barrett supports allocating foreign aid to programs that help people in drought-ridden areas adapt to climate change.
There are nonprofits that are operating in those countries that have great ideas in terms of teaching farmers to use the land better, to harvest water better, to use different variety of crops that are more resilient to drought conditions. Those are the kinds of programs I think are needed.
So he says the best way to reduce the number of climate change migrants is to help people thrive in their home countries. Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. Learn more at yaleclimateconnections.org.
KBOO volunteers have stepped up their game to bring you this locally produced newscast every single evening, so now we are asking you to do the same. Joining us are Ken Jones and Annette Newell to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Hello and welcome to our holiday membership drive central. This is something that KBOO does several times a year, and we do it because most of our budget, 80% of it, is supported by members like you. And if you're not currently a member and you're listening to KBOO, you must feel terrible, especially this time of year. I did. Annette, I went several years listening to KBOO and enjoying it before becoming a member. But it's a very easy process. You give us a call at 877-500-5266. Or you can go online at kboo.fm. I recommend making a call. We have people at the phones, humans you can talk to.
That's
and they'll
right.
walk you through the process. Say $10 a month, sustaining membership, $120 a year, comes painlessly out of your credit card, debit card, or bank account, electronic fund transfers.
And you'd be doing good for your community. Do Good Radio is our theme for this holiday membership drive. And we're really asking you to find it in your heart to support this because it is so important to the Portland community. KBOO's been here for more than 50 years. It's basically a local institution, and it's special because it's not funded by corporate sources or government sources. This is radio that's powered by you, by our listeners, and that's why it's so important. And Ken and I are really privileged we get to work in the news department here and really enjoy it. And There's a long list of very good, wonderful volunteers who work hard on that newscast every day from 5 to 6 o'clock. It airs every day. And we really get to go into in-depth on some important issues. We get to give voice to the voiceless or underserved communities, to people of color, to indigenous communities. We get to go really do a deep dive on stuff that you might not hear on other stations that, for example, about the environment or climate change or about politics. We've got a big political year coming up, and we'll be doing a lot in advance of the election, I'm sure. So it is going to be a big, exciting year ahead for KBOO, and we're hoping that you will be a part of it by calling us right now at 877-500-5266.
And you know, Amy Goodman's Democracy Now! Plays on KBOO twice a day during the week at 7 a.m. and 4 p.m. And I always go back to something that Amy said once, and I don't know exactly when. She said, independent media is the oxygen of a democracy.
Wow.
And that's especially important now where I think our democracy is threatened, certainly by things going on in Washington, D.C., and who knows how the courts are going to rule. Some of them are a little bit stacked in the favor of the bad guys. But you'll hear the real story here, and we're still independent media. Nobody controls KBOO except you as members. And to become a member, if you're not already, please give us a call to support independent media, to support the oxygen that supports a democracy at 877-500-5266.
George Zimmerman, the Florida Neighborhood Watch volunteer who shot and killed Trayvon Martin in 2012, is suing Martin's family for upwards of $100 million. In a lawsuit filed on Wednesday, Zimmerman alleges he was the victim of a conspiracy along with malicious prosecution and defamation, claiming that a key witness who testified about being on the phone with Martin just before the shooting was an imposter. Zimmerman is represented by Larry Klayman, founder of the right-wing group Judicial Watch, who made headlines earlier this year when a legal ethics panel recommended his suspension for misconduct with a female client who refused to enter into a romantic relationship with him. The Martin family and their attorney, Benjamin Crump, released a joint statement that said they, quote, have every confidence that this unfounded and reckless lawsuit will be revealed for what it is, another failed attempt to defend the indefensible and a shameless attempt to profit off the lives and grief of others. In 2013, Zimmerman was acquitted of all charges related to the murder of Martin, who was 17 and unarmed when Zimmerman shot and killed him in a gated Florida community where Martin's father lived. Zimmerman claimed he shot Martin in self-defense during a scuffle and was acquitted due to Florida's stand your ground law. He has repeatedly shown no remorse about the killing, even auctioning off the gun he used to kill Martin in 2016 and saying it was Martin's parents' fault that he died.
The Trump administration unveiled a plan on Tuesday to provide HIV prevention medication free to people who don't have prescription drug insurance. The drugs Truvada and Descovy are part of the HIV prevention strategy called PrEP, or pre-exposure prophylaxis. PrEP can be used by people who are HIV negative but at a high risk of contracting the virus. The strategy is 99% effective at preventing infection and requires just one pill a day. Without insurance, a 30-day supply of the drug can run up to $2,000. The new program, called Ready, Set, PrEP, is the first time the government will supply PrEP to patients not enrolled in a federal health program. Any patient who lacks health insurance, has had a recent negative HIV test, and has a prescription for PrEP can call 855-447-8410 or go to getyourprep.com to apply for free HIV prevention medication. You can also apply in person with your healthcare provider. Of the 1.2 million people in the United States who could benefit from PrEP, only 18% received a prescription for the drug last year. An estimated 40,000 people are diagnosed with HIV annually.
Trump's proposed cuts in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, also known as SNAP, won't be here for Christmas, but are scheduled to start April 1st of next year. The changes would remove the nutrition assistance from an estimated 750,000 low-income people. The new rules will restrict states' ability to exempt people without dependents from SNAP's work requirements. Currently, states can waive those limits in areas where unemployment runs 20% above the national rate. According to a recent Urban Institute study, the Trump administration's three proposed SNAP changes combined will strip federal food aid from 3.7 million people.
The environmental group Greenpeace has said it detected radiation hotspots near the starting point of the upcoming Olympic torch relay in Fukushima, Japan. The 2020 Olympic Games open in July of next year, with the torch relay set to begin in March. The Japanese government is eager to showcase Fukushima's recovery from the devastating 2011 earthquake and intends to use J-Village, a sports complex located about 12 miles from the nuclear plant that was damaged in the disaster, as the starting point for the torch relay. The Fukushima Daiichi nuclear station, located about 130 miles northeast of Tokyo, was hit by a magnitude 9.0 earthquake and its subsequent tsunami in March of 2011. More than 160,000 residents fled nearby towns in the aftermath as radiation contaminated water, food, and air in the region.
You are listening to a membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. Our volunteers work hard every day to bring you this coverage of local, national, and international news, so now it's your turn. Joining us now are Ken Jones and Annette Newell to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Here we are in KBOO's Holiday Membership Drive Central. I'm Ken Jones. I'm here with Annette Newell. And Annette and I both do the news during the week, and it's a volunteer-produced newscast, 5 p.m. every weekday on KBOO. And your membership dollars help support things like that. It also helps support Amy Goodman's Democracy Now!, which airs weekly at 7 a.m. and at 4 p.m. And you can, if it's time to renew your membership, or you're not currently a member, please give us a call at 877-500-5266, or you can go online, Annette, at kboo.fm.
KBOO is funded, of course, by our listeners, so we're asking you to go to that phone right now, dial that number he just told you, 877-500-5266, or go online to kboo.fm and become a member. Now, I've been with KBOO for about 2 years now, and I know you've been here quite a few years more than me.
Well, actually, about 5 or 6, I think.
Yeah.
But KBOO itself goes back about 51 years to 1968. So it always amazes me that it's the same business model all that time. And a lot of stations that started then, kind of during the hippie era, are no longer around. But KBOO is because we really represent the community, and the community steps up and supports KBOO. It's a mutual agreement, and it's been going on for over 50 years. And you're part of that. If you're not currently a member, as I said, or if it's time to renew your membership, we really need those contributions to keep us going for another 50 years and beyond. And you can do all that at 877-500-5266.
And remember, talent is universal, but opportunity to provide that talent is not. So with your help, we're breaking down the barriers many people experience to media making with free broadcast training and airtime access. Ken is really good at teaching audio production and audio editing. That's something that you're very specialized in.
I learned myself. I had somebody teach me here when I started at KBOO. I didn't know how to do audio editing. When I was in radio before, it was in the tape recorder era, and we used to splice and you know, cut
with the razor blade.
The razor blade, yeah. a dull razor blade. Yeah. We didn't have the budget for a sharper one.
Oh.
But now it's all much easier. It's all software on a computer. I'm one of the teachers. There's several others who teach audio production, where you can come into a studio here, a production studio, learn how to use the mic, learn how to play CDs, learn how to do interviews over the phone or live in person. And if you can't contribute money, or if you can, but you also have some time, we'd love to see you down here.
Yes, please call us. Again, that number is 877-500-5266, and you're going to help to support the KBOO Evening News, which airs every day from 5 to 6 o'clock, and KBOO News In Depth, which is part of that. That's usually a more in-depth interview about a local topic, something of importance. But, you know, we try to go really, I want to say in depth, but we really try to focus on something that's a super important issue and devote the time that it really deserves.
And something, I'll turn on something like CNN or MSNBC, and it's the same story over and over again.
Right.
Maybe 30 seconds of a news item, and then you have 7 talking heads, the same ones, going on and on about that. So anyway, the KBOO News is not like that. So again, give us a call, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
Donald Trump ended his tumultuous time at the NATO summit in London by leaving early, apparently because a couple world leaders were laughing about him the night before. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson asked the group, which included Canadian President Justin Trudeau and French President Emmanuel Macron, if Trump was late to a session because of his own press conference, and laughter ensued. Today, Trump canceled his final press conference and left early, referring to Trudeau as, quote, two-faced. The summit was marked by sharp disagreements over spending and future threats, including China and Turkey's role in the alliance, as well as a clash of personalities among the leaders.
The U.S. House of Representatives approved a bill on Tuesday that will require the Trump administration to toughen its response to China's crackdown on its Muslim minority in the far west of the country. The Uyghur Act condemns the detention of more than 1 million Uyghurs, Kazakhs, and other minorities, and calls for the closure of so-called re-education camps, where individuals are subjected to political indoctrination, torture, food deprivation, and denial of religious and linguistic freedoms. China has repeatedly denied any mistreatment and says the camps provide vocational training. It has warned of retaliation in proportion if Trump signs the bill. The bill has yet to be passed by the Senate, which had earlier approved its own milder version, and then must be signed by Trump. Last month, Congress passed legislation supporting anti-government protests in Hong Kong. In response, China has said that it will suspend U.S. military aircraft and sea vessel visits to Hong Kong, as well as sanction several American pro-democracy and human rights groups.
California Senator Kamala Harris is the third candidate in 3 days to drop out of the presidential race, leaving just 6 candidates to participate in the next debate. With that story and more, it's Lily Bulkey with 2020 Talks.
Welcome to 2020 Talks, where we track the 2020 election process from the studios of KHOI in the heart of Iowa.
Where we are right now in 2020, I do believe justice is on the ballot. It's on the ballot in terms of impeachment. It's on the ballot in terms of economic justice, health justice, and so many other issues.
California Senator Kamala Harris is the third candidate in 3 days to end their campaign for the Democratic nomination. She had one of the largest campaign events. 20,000 people attended her first rally. She did qualify for this month's debate, but her campaign was losing momentum overall. Her exit leaves just 6 candidates slated for the next debate, all of them white. 3 candidates of color are still in the race. Entrepreneur Andrew Yang needs one more qualifying poll to get on stage, but it's not looking as good for New Jersey Senator Cory Booker or former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick. Ross Wilburn, Iowa State Representative, supported Harris not only for her experience as California's Attorney General and then Senator, but also for her personal story.
I remember the moment that Ohio goes for Obama and that he was going to be President of the United States. Just the historic nature of that moment. I mean, I cried for about 15 minutes. And one of the reasons that I had supported him was healthcare. But that role model, that symbolically, it was important for me as an African American. I want that for my daughter. I want that feeling for my sisters, for Iowans.
Throughout her campaign, Harris's support for impeachment was clear. Today, the House Judiciary Committee hears from a panel of constitutional experts on whether the Intelligence Committee's evidence warrants articles of impeachment. President Trump declined to attend or send his own counsel. He's in London for the annual NATO summit, keeping the peace in Europe since World War II. For 70 years, the Allies have agreed that an attack on one is an attack on all, creating a powerful defense against the Soviet Union. President Trump has questioned that from time to time, and did so again yesterday. Here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi on who might benefit from a weakened NATO.
Questioning our commitment to NATO and Article 5 of NATO, who benefits from that but Putin? So this is a very dangerous posture for our country to take by any measure, militarily, strategically, ethically, in every way. All roads lead to Putin.
Although the communist bloc has split apart, Russia's recent annexation of Crimea and the ongoing war between Ukraine and Russian-backed insurgents suggests an enduring threat. Trump also reiterated his support of Turkey, a NATO country breaking another core tenet of the alliance, that countries don't buy military weapons outside the pact, particularly not from Russia. This follows Turkey's attacks against U.S.-allied Kurds in northern Syria after Trump withdrew U.S. troops. Presidential candidate Bernie Sanders disagrees with the president.
No, Turkey is not a U.S. ally when they invade another country and engage in mass slaughter.
From Pacifica Network and Public News Service, I'm Lily Bolke. Thanks for listening at pacificanetwork.org and publicnewsservice.org.
You are listening to an hour-long membership drive special of the KBOO Evening News. We'd like to remind you that you can call to renew your KBOO membership or become a member at any time during this program by calling 877-500-5266. Stay tuned at 6 for From the Vault, which showcases some of the feminist efforts throughout history that helped shape the efforts we are seeing today. At 7, it's Pacifica Radio Archives, where host Mark Torres examines the politicization of immigration and labor and how the 2017 Trump administration immigration policies are impacting our current immigrant communities. The weather tonight will be mostly cloudy with a low near 40, and tomorrow it will be early patchy fog, mostly cloudy, and a high of 50. Today in history, 50 years ago, Black Panther Party leader and revolutionary socialist Fred Hampton was assassinated by the Chicago police. He was 21 years old. The quote of the day is from activist and scholar Angela Davis, quote, "We know the road to freedom has always been stalked by death."
Water passes through the land, which acts like a gigantic filter. So to protect the quality of our water, it's important to protect the quality of our land. With more on this story, it's CurrentCast.
Protecting the land means protecting the water. On this CurrentCast. In a healthy watershed, the water passes through the land, which acts like a natural filter. So to protect water quality, it's important to protect the land, and land trusts are one way to do it. A binding legal agreement, land trusts permanently prevent development and can ensure any use of the property is done sustainably. Mike Carlson of Gathering Waters, Wisconsin's Alliance for Land Trusts, says his group protects water quality in three ways.
Protecting areas that are pristine and avoiding future degradation or restoring degraded sites.
So putting private or public land in a trust can be a simple and effective way to help protect water quality. CurrentCast is produced in partnership with Cornell's Atkinson Center for a Sustainable Future. Learn more online at currentcast.org.
Now is your chance to show support for the work our volunteers put in to bring you this newscast, rain or shine, every weekday throughout the year. Joining us now are Ken Jones and Annette Newell to talk about how you can support KBOO Community Radio.
Welcome back to our holiday membership drive central. I'm Ken Jones. I'm with my partner, Annette Newell.
Hi, good to be here.
And we're very glad you're listening to KBOO. KBOO goes back to about 1968, all that time in Portland. And the reason it exists still, Annette, is the same business model. It's contributions from members. 80% of our operating budget, which is not that much every year, it's about $1 million or so. That's a two-martini lunch at Fox News or something. And it's all due to members like you, 80% of that. And if you're not currently a member, or if it's time to renew your membership, please give us a call at 877-500-5266. We have people at the phones. They can walk you through the process. We would very much like a sustaining membership, and that's giving an amount, say, like $10 a month, $120 a year. And we could do that through a credit card, a debit card, electronic fund transfer through your bank account. Make it as painless as possible. You tell us what works best for you. The people at the phones, again, can walk you through the process. But give them a call now, 877-500-5266.
And our theme this time is Do Good Radio for the KBOO Holiday Membership Drive. And what we mean by that is you're doing good in the community. And part of that is the KBOO Evening News, which Ken and I are both privileged to work with. And we actually anchor during the day, during the weekdays from 5 to 6 o'clock. And we also do producing and writing and interviewing and